The princess and the stranger of the castle halls rose majestically against the fading light of dusk, casting long murk over the cobblestone yard. Princess Isabella stood at the window of her chamber, her delicate fritters tracing the intricate patterns of the stained glass as the distant sounds of the evening feast echoed below. She was a queen bound by duty and anticipation, her unborn precisely woven by alliances and politics. But her heart endured for a world beyond a bejeweled pen. That night, during the feast, her eyes met those of a foreigner, a youthful knight named Adrian, recently arrived from a distant land. His dark eyes held a spark of defiance and kindness that stirred Commodity deep within her. Their world should have been separate, yet fate had other plans. As whispers of war and treason swirled around the castle walls, Isabella and Adrian set up themselves drawn together by a bond neither could deny. Forbidden Deer's days turned into weeks, and a quiet moment stolen between Princess Isabella and Sir Adrian grew into a honey that neither could hide. They met in the castle auditoriums beneath the ancient oaks, where rumored pledges mingled with the scent of blooming roses. Adrian spoke of distant lands and battles won and lost, while Isabella participated in dreams of freedom beyond her royal scores. But their love was interdicted. A queen and a knight, worlds piecemeal in status and anticipation. Court gossip began to stir, and the shadow of the king's displeasure impended. One evening, as the sun dipped below the horizon, Isabella entered a royal decree. She was to be married to a Napoleon from a neighboring area, a union meant to secure peace and strengthen alliances. Agonized but bent, she met Adrian in the theater one last time. "I'll always love you," he rumored, "but your duty must come first." Gashes welled in her eyes. "And I'll no way forget you." Their worlds were closing in, but their hearts burned fiercely in defiance. The days that followed were a blur of medications and anguish. Princess Isabella moved through the castle like a ghost, her heart breaking beneath the weight of silks and jewels. Her forthcoming marriage to Prince Edric of Solmere was the talk of the court. He was noble, wise, and kind, but he was Aunt Adrian. Adrian had dissolved from court, reassigned by royal command to the northern borders. Isabella hadn't seen him since that last moment in the theater, but his memory visited her every step. One night, as the castle slumbered, Isabella crept through the menial's halls, the verge of her cloak brushing the cold gravestone. She descended into the library, where only night flitted. There, staying in the murk, was Lady Malin, her most trusted char. "And friend, you're certain you want to do this?" Malin asked, her voice slightly above a tail. "I cannot live a terra diddle," Isabella answered. "My heart doesn't belong to a throne. It belongs to him." Malin jounced and handed her a folded diploma. "This came by Jingoist. He waits for you near the escarpments of Alarin." Isabella gripped the letter to her casket. "Also, I must go." The flight at dawn, Isabella rode out under the guise of visiting the friary. Her guards, pious to her mama S. memory further than the king's command, asked no questions. By noon, she reached the edge of the Alarin escarpments, where swells thundered far below. The sky hung heavy with shadows, and the scent of swab clung to the wind. Adrian was there. He turned as her steed approached, his eyes widening in unbelief. "Isabella." She dismounted and ran to him. "I couldn't marry him. I couldn't stay." He held her, fiercely and desperately. "You gave up everything." "No," she rumored. "I gained you." They stayed there, wrapped in the moment, knowing the world they had fled would soon catch up. Adrian had arranged passage on a boat bound for the Eastern Islands, where no crown could find them, but fate wasn't so fluently escaped. Chains and crowns they were set up before evening. The king's men girdled them as they made their way to the retired creek. Brands drawn, the captain called out, "Princess Isabella, by royal decree, you're to return it formally. Sir Adrian is under arrest." Isabella stepped between them. "He's under my protection." The captain dithered, torn between duty and admiration. "My lady, the order comes from your father himself." Adrian raised his hands. "I'll go. Do and harm her." "No," Isabella cried, clinging his arm. "We run or we fall together." But it was too late. Steel disaccorded. Adrian fought courageously, but they were outnumbered. Blood stained the beach. He felt his knees wounded as Isabella screamed his name. They were dragged back to the castle in chains. A crowd of frustrations the court gathered in hushed shock as the queen was paraded to the hall in impediment, her dress torn, her eyes fierce with defiance. Adrian followed before, slightly suitable to stand. The king sat on his throne, his face sculpted from gravestone. "You dare shame this crown," he said, voice cold wave as downtime. "You bring dishonor to your birth." "I bring verity," Isabella said. "I'll not be bartered like a coin." Gasps gurgled through patricians. The king stood. "Also you shall suffer the consequences of rebellion. You'll marry Edric, and the knight shall hang." "No." Her voice cracked. "I'll marry no bone. If he dies." Prince Edric stepped forward. His expression was one of anguish, not wrathfulness. "Your Majesty," he said, bowing. "Maybe there's another way." The court held its breath. A different kind of war. Edric was a man of honor. He'd heard the rumors, seen the sadness in Isabella's eyes when they met. He didn't wish to marry a woman who loved another. "Let me speak," Edric said. "However, let it not be erected on blood. If this union is meant to bring peace..." The king goggled at him. "You refuse her?" "I refuse injustice," Edric replied. "Let them go, if she doesn't wish to wed me. I'll not be part of this atrocity." The room erupted in murmurs. Isabella's aspect locked with Edric's. "Thank you," she said vocally. The king's jaw tensed. "You asked me to cast away a royal convention for the vagrancies of a heart." Edric met his aspect. "I asked you to choose peace not only between fiefdoms, but within your own family." The silence stretched. Also, with a slow exhale, the king turned to Isabella. "You have lowered me, but you're still my son." He looked at Adrian. "And you have shown frippery. I banish you from this court. No way return." He raised his hand. "Go, both of you." Winds of freedom. They left the coming day. Riding at dawn before the world stirred, Maelyn met them at the gates with cloaks and food. "Be free," she rumored, gashes in her eyes. And no way looked back. They rode through mist and meadow, through timbers and fields. Adrian's injuries healed as the long halls passed, and Isabella's smile sluggishly returned. Weeks latterly, they reached the seacoast again, this time, with no dog faces in pursuit. A boat awaited. As they sailed into horizon, Isabella leaned into Adrian's arms. "We've no titles, no area," she said. "We've each other," he replied. She smiled. "Also we've everything." Epilogue the kingdom beyond years past. In a quiet villa on the eastern islet of Marith, a healer named Bella lived with her hubby, a former knight with dark eyes and a gentle soul. They tended to the sick, helped the poor, and told stories to the children about a land far down and a castle with halls that touched the sky. Occasionally, when the wind was right, Bella would sit by the ocean, her fritters tracing the swells, and flash back the girl she formerly was. A queen bound by duty, who chose love rather, and she no way rooted, not for a moment,